Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah, glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. That was Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir. You've been so good to me. Hallelujah. Glory to the Lamb of God. Thank you, Lord. He loves us so much. You know, love is the essence of the gospel. And God loves us very much. And God loves you very much. His patience, his endurance, it's because he wants us, all of us, to come to repentance and be saved. He don't want no one to perish. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory be to the Lamb. You have been good to me. song by the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir. Beautiful song. Let me give you a little disclaimer and a little itinerary of the church, and I'll share that information with you right now. And that is, the disclaimer is, the songs that we play on this program, Blog Talk Radio, do not belong to Pastor Ramos. They do not belong to the church, the Way, the Truth, and Life Tabernacle. They do not belong to Blog Talk Radio. They belong to the individual artists and productions who produce these songs. But because we bought the original DVDs, CDs, or albums, in there we have permission to use the songs. So that was a Brooklyn Tabernacle song, "You Have Been Good to Me." Oh, hasn't God been good to you? Every time you take a breath, my brother and my sister, God has been good to you. Every time you awaken and your eyes open and you see the light, or you hear the bird singings, or you hear the people, the noise of the people, "You have been good to me." Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. God is great and God is beautiful. Hallelujah. So the songs that we play here, they don't belong to us or the church or to the Blog Talk Radio. They belong to the individual artists. The itinerary for the church is that every Sunday at 7 p.m., we have the Bible Mystery. And we've taken on the subject of the names of God. We spoke a little bit last week of El Shaddai. This week is going to be El Elyon. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And you know, what does it mean? You know, El Elyon, where do we find it in the Bible? Glory be to God. And why was God called El Elyon? Hallelujah. That's the mystery for Sunday. And if you get the answer correctly, and I'm just looking for, you know, what does El Elyon mean? If you get the right answer, for those of you that have not won anything in the past, and this is your first time winning, we would send you a free colorful accordion style pamphlet of the tabernacle. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. If this is more than your first time winning, you'll get a beautiful, colorful breakdown of the Our Father prayer with color coding and words and scriptures to go along with it. And you will learn what it is to pray the Our Father prayer. What does it mean? You know, each part has a very significant meaning, and something we broke it down so you could look it up and study it and make it personal to yourself. You should be praying the Our Father prayer every night with the prayers that you say as the Spirit leads you, only because that's what Jesus taught the disciples, and because once you get the colorful outline, you're going to see why you should pray this prayer every day and every night. The morning when you wake up, or the nighttime when you go to sleep. Remember one thing when you go to bed, for those of us that sometimes we have problems sleeping, we have to remember God promises us sweet dreams in the book of Proverbs, sweet dreams. So we want to thank God for the sweet dreams. Hallelujah. We want to bind up every hindering spirit, every demonic, satanic spirit, every witch and warlock that might be in your room bothering you. And you want to thank God for him dispatching the angels, protection against the enemy, fight the war that they bring against us. We do our war fighting in prayer. Glory be to the Lord. But we have to put on our whole armor so we could stand, and that's found in Ephesians chapter 6 from verse 10 onward. You'll see the armor of God. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. And you want to thank God for the angels, because they watch the doors, the walls, and the windows, that no demonic spirit, no evil spirit comes into your house. And thank God that you thank God because he sent them to the abyss, never to return again. And any other thing that you need to be delivered from, any other spirit, you want to bind that up. Jesus said, "I give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loose in heaven." So let's say you're having a problem with pornography. You could say, In the name of Jesus, I bind you, spirit of pornography, and command you to depart, to go to the abyss, and never return again. And, you know, when you do that in sincerity and you believe God for your deliverance, you shall be delivered. Yes, there's a lot of people out there that do deliverance. You know, that's the ministry that the Lord has called them. But, you know, Jesus died on the cross once and for all of us, when he shed his blood and when he baptized with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came within us, and the enemy cannot stay there. There cannot be two entities within you, your kingdom, your soul, your spirit. There cannot be two entities. Something is wrong if they say that you have two entities. You got the Holy Spirit plus demons lingering around. Something is not right. Something is not being portrayed right from the Bible. Something is not right. We have to look it up. We have to pray about it. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. But, you know, if you have troublesome, yes, you should seek someone to help you out for deliverance. Because once you're set free, you're free indeed. Glory be. Hallelujah. And you want to stay clean, because the enemy will try to come back with seven more evil spirits to make things worse than what it was before. And we want to thank God. Thank God for the ability that we have in Jesus Christ. We are like he calls us in Corinthians, ambassadors of the kingdom of God. And hallelujah, we represent the kingdom of heaven. Glory be to the Lord. No longer we are dead. We are alive. In Ephesians chapter 2, it says we were dead in our sins. But when Christ paid for our sins and the Holy Spirit revived us, we became alive. Glory be to the God. Jesus Christ wrote our names in the Lamb's Book of Life. And we have a guarantee of heaven when we do the will of the Father. Not our will, but the will of the Father. That's why in the prayer, the Lord's Prayer, it says, let thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so that's what we seek. We seek to do the will of the Father. So for those of you that will be the second time waiting, or the third or the fourth time, you'll get that beautiful outline of the Our Father prayer. Glory be to the Lord. On Tuesdays at 7 p.m., we have intercessory prayer. And I would encourage everyone to call in, and you become a participant in prayer. There's several subjects that we have. There's a lot of names. Think about the names, the people that you know, whether they're saved or unsaved. Write them down on a piece of paper, their names. And those is the ones that God wants you to pray for. Whenever God brings someone before you, that's the going trend that we have at the church. And that is that when God brings a person to your mind, it's for you to pray for that person. We don't know what they're going through, what situation they have, or what blessings is coming. But, you know, the Bible says, when there's two or three gathering his name, he's in the midst. So we pray for that individual. Glory be to the Lord. I continue to write names down right now in my pad, my prayer pad, in my intercessory prayer pad. I got four pages full of names of people that are friends, acquaintances, and brothers and sisters from the church. And you pray for each one of them, and you see how God will bless you because you're blessing somebody else in their prayer. On Thursdays, like tonight at 7 p.m., we come together to Bible study. The main subject is, what's next? What's going to happen next? And we've been looking at different subjects. And we started with the Lord coming and the tribulation. And I had several people from the church come on the air and speak. And you could do likewise. Just contact me via the text and that you like to present a subject. And we'll talk about it and see if it's from the Lord. And then we put you on live on the air. And let me tell you, I'll call you from the studio on your phone, and you speak for 45 minutes or so, whatever the Lord leads you. Present your case there and present the scriptures, and we will honor God and everything. So we started speaking about the rapture. Pastor Robbie Newman presented that a while ago. And then we talk about the tribulation. We talked about the believer's judgment. We talk about the marriage supper of the Lamb. And this week we're going to start the return of Christ. They call that the second coming. But you have to understand that in the second coming, it's divided into two phases. Phase number one is the rapture or the gathering of the saints. Glory be. That's what we're going to discuss today. Phase number two is the return. He's going to come back to Mount Olivet, and he's going to rescue Israel. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. So we have, on Sundays, we have the Bible Mysteries. On Tuesday, we have intercessory prayer. And on Thursdays, we have Bible study, all at 7 p.m. here on Block Talk Radio. You could call us at 516-418-5944. Press number one to be connected to the studio. I believe Sister Cherie Berry is online. She called the other day, and she gave me the answer to what El Shaddai meant. And she won the prize, and it was mailed out the next day to her. Gloria. So I think she's on today. Let me just double check. Hold on, everyone.
Good evening.
Praise the Lord. Sister Berry?
Praise the Lord. Yes. Sister Berry?
Oh, okay.
Yes, I'm here.
So you're going to listen? Fantastic. Yes, okay, so you're going to be listening to the program. Okay, great. Thank you.
Yes.
Praise the Lord, everyone. So we're back. And yes, that was Sister Berry from Richmond, Virginia. She's a sister in the Lord. And we want to thank God for her because she really encouraged us. Last week, she spoke a little bit about the prodigal son and how all these things apply to us. And sure enough, it was an encouragement. Glory be to the Lord. So let's go into our scripture and learn a little bit. And this is going to be the second coming of Christ, part 2A. We're breaking it down because I'm not going to cover the rapture or the catching up of the saints and the return tonight. It's just too many scriptures, and I want to give them to you because I want you to study. Remember, Pastor Ramos, I don't have all the answers. You need to get involved with your Bible study, pray, watch, ask the Holy Spirit to give you a Rhema word. We have the Logos word, which is the black and white pages that we have. That's called the Logos word. But we need the Rhema word from the Holy Spirit. He's the one that encouraged men. He's the one that spoke, and holy men of God wrote as they were inspired by the Holy Spirit. So we ask the Holy Spirit to give us a Rhema word, a deeper a meaning of what we're reading, because just like when you take a shower, you just don't jump in. You take your layers of clothes off. Well, the Bible is like that. It's have layers. Today you can read one verse, and tomorrow you come back to the same verse, and you'll receive something different. And it's just telling you that the Holy Spirit is giving you a Rhema word, a revelation, so you could understand and apply that for yourself. And don't forget, I always remind people and tell people, love is the essence of the gospel, love. You know, the Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus said, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love each other as I have loved you. Glory be to the, and that's what the gospel is all about, you know? There's too many people out there that are very judgmental. They bring a guilt feeling upon people. And we, the born-again Christians, God did not give us the spirit of fear, but of sound mind, love, and strength. That's how we operate these days, because we are children of the kingdom of God. He made us part of his family. We are joint heirs with Christ. I'm not preaching a greasy grace gospel. I don't want you to take this the knowledge that you receive from the Holy Spirit and the blessings as a license to sin and say, oh, well, God would always forgive me. Yes, he will forgive you, but there comes a time when God says enough is enough, you know, and he'll give people a reprobate mind and people will not make it in. And our thing is to stand, to watch and pray, and to be worthy to escape the wrath to come. There is a wrath coming upon this earth. Wrath is the anger of God that's coming to the earth, just like the Noah's flood, just like Sodom and Gomorrah, and other things that occurred in this earth. And we don't want to be part of the tribulation that's coming upon this earth. We want to be with Christ, okay? And I recommend that you watch the movie The Day Before the Wrath. It's a depiction of the Galilean wedding. Remember, Jesus and all the disciples, apostles, were Galileans. And you have, there's a difference between a Galilean wedding and a regular Jewish wedding. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. And let me just get these things together here so we could share it. So we're going to, today we're going to speak about the gathering of the church, the rapture, the blessed hope. Glory be to the Lord. Let me just put a little disclaimer, and that is you're not going to find the word rapture in the Bible, just like you're not going to find the word Bible in the Bible. You're not going to find Trinity in the Bible. But rapture, if it was, is an English translation of the Latin Vulgate that St. Jerome wrote. He, when he came to Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3, chapter 4, verse 13 to 18, and when he talked about being caught up, the Greek word is rapture, harpazo. It's like your child running in front of a oncoming truck. You're going to grab him most likely from the hair and pull him. That is what harpazo is all about. Christ is going to rapture us up, catch us up from this earth, and we're going to meet him in the clouds. Glory be to the Lord. But in the Latin Vulgate, you'll find the word rapture, but in Latin, it's called rapismo. And so that's what it's there in the Bible in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, rapismo in Thessalonians. Glory be to the Lord. But you're not going to find it in our English Bible. Some Bibles got rebellion. Some Bibles have fall away. I like the Gideon. The Geneva Bible has departure. There is a departure from the faith, which is talked about in Timothy chapter 4, 1 Timothy chapter 4. But there is a departure where you move from one location to another, from the earth to heaven. And that's discussed in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. Before the revelation or the revealing of the son of perdition, which is the Antichrist, there'll be a departure first. And that's what we're going to talk about today, a departure. Okay, so follow along with me. I'll give you some scriptures to be able to look them up yourself and double check what is being taught. Don't take it for granted. You know, I want you to learn how to study your Bible, and I want you to ask the Holy Spirit to reveal these things unto you, because then you also will become a witness. You will have the power of the Holy Spirit in you, and you'll become a witness to others who don't know this, you know, this thing. Some people say that the rapture is a new doctrine. It was made up in the 1800s. But if you go back and you study our founding fathers and you find and you look up what Jesus said, you're going to find that the rapture or the catching away harpazo is what being taught at those times. Okay, so this is what happens in the phase number one, which is called the rapture. It's an imminent expectation right now. It could happen right now before the end of this program or at the end of the program. It could happen tonight, tomorrow. We don't know when it's going to happen. Jesus said that we are to watch and pray. And when you see these things coming to pass, look up for your redemption and draw it nigh. So what are these things that are coming together? Well, you got wars and rumors of wars. All this that we're going through, the problems, the difficulties that we're going, is called the birth pains. Jesus, labor pains. Jesus called it the labor pains. Like a woman having a child, she has labor pains before the actual birth of the child. And these labor pains come and go. They get closer together. They get, the pain is more hurtful, you know, labor pains. And you look around, the earth appears to be going through labor pains right now. We have Israel fighting Hamas. We have the war between Russia and Ukraine. There's many wars. I think there's about 183 wars throughout the world. And but the greatest war that we have, in my brothers and sisters, is a spiritual war. The enemy is fighting against you and me and everybody else, because all he wants is your soul. Remember, the word of God says, hell was made for the devil and his angels. It wasn't made for us. However, the Bible says, but because of the hardness of man's heart, hell has enlarged her mouth. And so a lot of people, even those who claim to be Christians, would end up in the lake of fire. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. And that's why we have to be sincere. We want to have a relationship with our God. We don't want you to have Christianity, speak Christianity, walk as a Christian, talk as a Christian, dress as, we don't want none of that. We want to be sincere, have a personal relationship with our Lord and Savior, because he gave his life for you and me so we could be saved and be able to tell others of the goodness of the Lord. Like the song that we play, "You Have Been Good to Me," from the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir. Glory be. At one time when I was younger, I was in the Brooklyn Tabernacle Men's Choir, and that was some experience that the Lord took me through. But let's get back to our lesson. The second phases of the second coming, phase number one, is called the rapture, or the gathering of the saints, or the great assembly. That's the Bible. You look at different chapters, different verses, it have different names. This is what Jesus said in the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 1 through 3. He says, "Let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it wasn't so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come back and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be also." Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Right now, Jesus Christ, when he ascended about 2,000 years ago, he's seated at the right hand of the Father, interceding for you and I. And he wants to take us to the Father's house. And that is only going to happen because phase number one is the gathering, harpazo, the rapture, the great assembly of those of us who whose names is in the Lamb's Book of Life. We want to thank God for that. He loves us so very much. And when you read the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 1 to 3, that is called a Jewish idiom. He is saying there in the Jewish language, "I am going to marry you." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We are, you know, the Bible calls the church, those of us, the bride of Christ, the chaste virgin, you know, different descriptions, adjectives that they use in the Bible for the believer. Glory be to the Lord. So Jesus Christ said he's going to marry us. When he made it possible for the Bible, well, the Bible is our license. Like people who get married have a license they got to sign. We have a license. We have the Bible. Glory. Thus says the Lord. Jesus said, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will remain forever." And then when a husband to be, a bridegroom, he goes to the bride, or the bride to be, he kneels down before her and he asks her, "Would you marry me?" And he places a ring on her finger when she says yes. Well, our ring is typified by the Holy Spirit. When we were saved, the Holy Spirit came within us and we became children of God. We have our license and we have our ring to show that we belong not to ourselves, we belong to Christ. Hallelujah. So he's coming back to receive us because there's going to be a great tribulation, a great problem that's going to happen in this earth. There's going to be wars. There's going to be famines. There's going to be diseases, all kinds of things. I'm sure you heard about the four horsemen of Revelation. We're not going to get into that, but, you know, there'll be wars. There'll be killings. There'll be a lot of things that's going on. There's going to be a one-world religion, one-world economic system, and one-world power. And we see it happening now. They're trying to take away the dollar bill and make currency electronic, Bitcoin. And so if you don't have that, you know, they're going to be able to mess with your money. And little by little bit, the system of the Antichrist is coming to be. Some people are preaching. Some people think this AI is part of the Antichrist. We're not sure. But we're not going to be here. So I would never tell you, look for the Antichrist. I want you to be looking for Jesus Christ. He's coming in the air, the Bible says, in the clouds. And then the Bible says that we're going to meet him there. So let's read 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 through 18, which talks about the rapture. And this is what the word of the Lord says, praise God. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Praise God. You know, the Bible says in the book of Ecclesiastes, the body will go back to the dust. That's where we bury the body. But the spirit whom God gave will return back to God. And we are a living soul because of the spirit. So absent from this body is present with God. So those who have gone before us, who are in Christ Jesus, he will bring back with him their souls and spirit to be reunited with a glorified body. And that's going to happen in the air. I'm going to show you that. It says in verse 15, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. So this is considered the first resurrection, or the resurrection of the righteous. Those people that went before, their bodies is going to resurrect, but there's going to be change. Paul says in the gospel, in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he says, we shall be changed in a twinkling of an eye. This mortal must put on immortality. This carnal must put on incarnality. And we're going to meet the Lord in the air and recognize Jesus. Why? Because we're going to be just like him. And we're going to meet him in the clouds, the Bible says. And then it goes on to say in verse 17, then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. So what's going to happen, my brothers and sisters, and that is that when God the Father says to Jesus, go get your bride. That's why when you see that movie, The Day Before the Wrath, the Galilean wedding, the father tells the son when to go get his bride. In the meantime, when they got engaged and there's a beautiful procession, when you see the movie, the bride goes off to get her dress and she's with the handmaidens or with the other bridesmaids, and they're preparing and they're getting ready, and they're always expecting the bridegroom to come because they're not sure when he's going to come. He went off to make an extra room in his father's house, and that's where him and her will consummate the marriage, and in that room. And so he went to make a room for him. That's why Jesus said, "I'll go to prepare a place for you." So he's given us an example, a comparison of the Galilean wedding with what is going to happen with us when we meet the Lord in the air. So we're going to be caught up, harpazo, the rapture, great assembly, where? In the clouds. And on the way to the clouds, this mortal body that we have, which is peaceful. Jesus said, blood and flesh will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. So on the way to the clouds, we're going to be changed to a glorified body, and we're going to be just like Jesus Christ. Glory be to the Lord. And we're going to meet him where? In the clouds. That's one of the difference between the rapture and his return. His return takes place when he puts his feet on Mount Olivet. You see the difference? One is in the clouds and one is on Mount Olivet. And some people believe in the pre-tribulation rapture, which is what I believe. And that's I believe that we're going to be raptured up before the tribulation takes place. And how? Where do I base that on? Well, I base it on right there, chapter 5 of the same book, 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5 and verse 9. It says, "For God had not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we awake or sleep, we shall live together with him." Praise God. So we're not appointed to the wrath of God, what's going to happen in tribulation time. So that's why I believe in the pre-tribulation rapture of the church. Some people believe in the mid-tribulation, and some people believe in the post-tribulation. And if we're wrong, well, whether it's mid or post, we're going to go to heaven anyway. But we know we are right, because that's the revelation of the Holy Spirit. Pre-tribulation, these brothers and sisters who believe in the mid and post will miss the rapture. They'll be here to go through the seven-year tribulation and have a fight with the Antichrist. Oh, praise God, praise God. So let me just share some things in this rapture, in the way we're being caught up. Or what are the things you have to remember? There is no precursor for the rapture. There's no signs, there's no indications, there's nothing we could look forward to say, okay, this day is the rapture. Nope. In his return, when he comes to Mount Olivet, at the end of the tribulation, well, the tribulation, you know, have a lot of things going on with the wars, but his return to Mount Olivet, there'll be signs in the sky of his return, and he's coming with the army of heaven, which is us, the born-again Christians, and he's coming with the angels of heaven back to the earth. But that's a return. We're going to hold off on that. I don't want to get into that. I want to stay with the rapture. So the rapture will cause saints of God to be taken. You and I, brothers and sisters, we've been destined then by God, and then we predestined and God called us, and that's why we're going forward and we love our Savior. My goodness, we are part of the family of heaven. All heaven is on our side. And then do you know that Jesus said, anything you do, everything that you do, say it in my name. And that's why when we are praying, when we are laying hands on somebody, or anything that we do, we always say in the name of Jesus. Why? Because the enemy knows about salvation. The enemy knows about eternal life, but they tremble when you use the name of Jesus, because Jesus overcame death. He overcame sin. He overcame the grave. He overcame the evil one. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. The next thing you have to understand about the rapture or the great assembly or the harpazo is that Christ will meet the saints in the air. So he's going to call us up. There's going to be a trumpet sound, the voice of the archangel. Hallelujah. A shout is going to happen. And we, the born-again Christians, will hear it. And we're going to be taken out of this earth. But the people who don't believe in Jesus Christ, they will not hear nothing. When they see the crashes that is going to happen, because obviously some bus drivers are Christians, they're going to disappear. Some pilots are Christians. You know, that plane is going to crash, and many things like that, because Christians are going to disappear. So in the beginning, people don't know what's happening, and then they're going to realize, oh my goodness, the Christians were right. This is the great rapture that they spoke about. Hallelujah. But I want to warn you, my brothers and sisters, I don't want to be a silent pastor like some people in the world, but I need to warn you that they're promulgating a false deception right now. They're talking about aliens. They're talking about flying saucers. And they're talking about some people have been taken and experimented with. Well, what's happening is these are demonic entities. And when the rapture takes place, some people are going to promulgate and say, well, the aliens came and took them. And this is a deception, because they are saying that these aliens are our brothers. They're the ones who put us here on this earth. They seeded the planet with us. But that's a lie from the pit of hell, and it's a deception. They're going to use the rapture to deceive people and say the aliens came to get them. So be very careful when you see these programs or anything that have to do with aliens, because those are demonic entities crossing over there. You know, when you look at these programs, and some people are asked, where did they come from? Did they come from another star system? They don't know. They just appear. And so what happened is they transfer from the unseen world to the seen world. They have that power to translate across the barrier. So we have to be very careful that you don't. The Bible says, Jesus said himself before he ascended into heaven, he says, let no man deceive you. And the first person to deceive us is us ourselves, because we believe things that other people say. So be very, very careful that you don't get deceived with the false information that they're giving out there. Hallelujah. Another thing that's going to happen with the rapture is it's going to happen before the seven-year tribulation. And the reason I say that is because when you read Matthew chapter 24, around verse 29, it says, immediately following the tribulation of those days, the sun will not shine, the moon will be dark, and the sign of the coming of the Son of Man in the clouds, you know, with great power and glory would appear. That is the return. That's when he returns to the earth. That is not the rapture. So the rapture is going to take place before the tribulation that's going to happen on this earth. A lot of Jewish people are looking to build the third temple, and they're looking to establish it. When you read your Bible, you notice that the Antichrist comes in agreement with the Jewish people, and he's going to allow them to finish building the third temple. They're going to begin their sacrifices. However, he's going to pollute the temple by, once again, just like Epiphanes brought a pig into the temple and he desecrated the temple. He's going to do the same thing. He's going to go against Israel. He's going to desecrate the temple, and he's going to sit in the temple as he is God. And the Jewish people are going to say no. And there's going to be a great war where the nations of the world under his control will come against little Israel 2/3 of Israel will be killed and destroyed. That's what the Bible says. 1/3 will run and hide in the mountains of Petra. That's where Jesus Christ is going to save them from at the return. But prior to all that, there's going to be a catching away, a departure, a harpazo, the great assembly, a rapture of the church. And a lot of questions I ask some people is, that is, did you get married? Usually the older people, you know, I ask them, did you get married? And they say, yes. I said, okay, the day that you got married, did you punish your wife? Did you cause her to go through pain and suffering? No, I never would do that to my wife. Actually, we went on a honeymoon. Well, do we expect Christ to allow punishment to come to the church? No, he's going to take us out of this world. As a matter of fact, in Revelation 3:10, Jesus said, because you kept the things that I said, he says, I will keep you from the hour of temptation. He's going to, in chapter 4 of Revelation, in verse number 1, he says, come up hither. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. And this is why we need the Holy Spirit to give us a rhema word, so these things could be revealed to us and we could go on and understand that we are going to go before the tribulation is going to happen. Are we going to go through any type of tribulation? We're going through that now. There's a lot of Christians worldwide that are being martyred for the cause of Christ. They're being killed. They're being executed. Their heads are being cut off. And that's because, you know, they believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and they're not confessing nothing else but Jesus Christ. Glory be to the Lord. So, yes, we as Christians are going through some tribulation. Jesus said, if they hate me, they're going to hate you. And some brothers will put other brothers in jail. So, you know, when you have people calling themselves Christians, yet they're operating as a non-Christian, you have to be very careful who you associate with. You have to be very careful. And we should associate ourselves with people of like mind who believe the same thing like us. We pray, we study the Bible together, we worship, and we praise God. That's why it's very important to go to church, because the Bible says in Hebrews, we are not to forsake the assembly of ourselves as others do. We'll go there because it's a corporate anointing that comes upon the body of Christ, and we are able to worship and praise God. The woman at the well, Jesus told her, because, you know, she was a Samaritan woman, and they believed that, you know, their worship was in that area because the well belonged to Jacob, and they were descendants of Jacob. But the Jewish people said, no, in Jerusalem is where the temple is at. But Jesus said, neither in Jerusalem nor here will you worship God. God is a spirit. This is the Gospel of John chapter 4. He says, God is a spirit, and now is when the true worshipers will worship him in spirit and truth. God is looking for people who are true worshipers, and that's what you and I are, true worshipers. When we worship God in spirit and truth by the unction of the Holy Spirit and sincerity, you know, we put everything to one side and only focus on him. Glory be to the Lord. And lift him up, because he said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. And that's what the Bible says. Unless the Holy Spirit draws them, no one could be saved. You could talk to one person for years and years, and they're not converted. They don't want to believe. They don't want to accept. You know, they know too much. They're very intelligent. However, they don't know the things of the Lord and what's going to happen. So that's why the 7-year tribulation, I believe, is the rapture is going to take before that. And we're going to go to be with the Lord forever and ever and ever. There's a war now, Ukraine and Russia. There's a war now between Jerusalem and Hamas. You know, is this going to lead to Armageddon? Is this going to lead to the third world? We don't know. All I know is that we are not appointed to the wrath of God. So we have to every day think, dress, and be prepared, because we don't know when the hour of our departure is. We don't know. All we know is we're not going to be part of that mess that's going to happen down here. Glory be to the Lord. Let's go on to the next part. It says the righteous dead will be resurrected. Once again, those that have gone before us, whether the wife or a son or a daughter or a husband or what, or grandparents, they might have known the Lord at one time, and you know they went home. They died. The body died. You know, this body is cursed. It's corruptible because of the sin that Adam and Eve happened. You know, it came upon all of us. We all are destined. You know, when we're born, we begin to die. As a matter of fact, I was a paramedic for New York City EMS Fire Department for 23 and a half years. And one thing that I learned going to paramedic school, and that is our skin is made up of 8 layers. The top layer, the layer that you feel when you touch your body, is dead. You know, that's why when you take a bath, when you take a shower, you know, you could have taken a shower 3 times a day, and 3 times you're going to find that there's dirt tissue that's flowing off your body and onto the sink there. Depletion that I could share with you is, if you ever seen a commercial or something where a snake comes out of her skin, well, the top layer is dead. It's tissue. And that's why some people got dandruff. You know, that skin is dead. And so we need to understand that this body is cursed from way back when Adam and Eve disobeyed God. And it passed on to us because we're from one of the sons of Noah, Ham, Shem, and Japheth. Our ancestry come through that lineage. And beyond that, God knows. Glory be to the Lord. So the people who are going to come back with God, with Christ here to rapture us up, to take us up to the clouds, they're also going to receive a glorified body. They're the first ones. They're going to receive the glorified body. They're going to begin to ascend to the clouds again. And we're not going to die in that sense where we're going to bury the body. We're going to be changed in Paul says in the twinkling of an eye. Now, how fast is twinkle of an eye? Very fast. Well, that's how the change is going to be. There's going to be a change whereby we're going to go up to the clouds to meet Christ in the air, and we're going to ever be with him. And so they are going to receive their glorified body. We will receive the glorified body. Glory be to the Lord. Then the next step is, it says here, the Antichrist will be revealed. Now, if you read the letter of John, John says that the spirit of Antichrist is already in the earth. That was 2,000 years ago, but there's going to come a time after the rapture that there's going to be a man. He could be alive now. We don't know. There's going to be a man who's going to be empowered by the power of the devil. And he's going to be the Antichrist. He's going to go to Jerusalem, and he's going to agree with the pact that Israel makes for the third temple. He's going to bring peace to the world because he's going to be a good orator. He's going to conquer the world through peace. He's not going to conquer the world through war. And that's the big deception that's going to happen. And a lot of people are going to be attracted to him, and they're going to receive him, and he's going to do miracles and signs and wonders. You know, the Bible says the Jews look for signs, and the Greeks, or us, the non-Jews, were looking for wisdom. And so he's going to be a good orator, but he's also going to do signs and wonders. And both nations, the Jewish nation and those who are non-Jews, will accept this person as the Antichrist. Who is he? We don't know yet. You know, the Bible gives a description of who he might be. There's a lot of people guessing as to who might be, but nobody knows for sure. Only God. Only God knows. One thing I know is that right now, the Jewish people are checking everyone who claims to be Jewish, and they're doing a DNA check to see what tribe they belong to. Whoever is going to be the Antichrist, remember, he's going to be accepted by the Jewish people, and he's also going to be accepted by the Muslims, and he's going to be accepted by the non-Christians, people of the world are going to accept him, because he's going to bring peace to the world, and he's going to bring the economic system, the job situation, everything is going to be peaceful, and people are going to receive him as the leader. They talk about a dictator, you know, and everything is going to appear to be smooth in the beginning, the first 3.5 years. But then the last 3.5 years, he turns against Israel, and a great calamity is going to occur here on earth. And then and then the last part, it says the great tribulation begins. When the revelation of the Antichrist happens after the rapture, you know, after 3.5 years, he's going to break the covenant that he makes with the Jewish nation, and he's going to come against them, and he's going to use the armies of the world to come against Israel. The Bible says Israel will be destroyed. There'll be Jerusalem is going to be destroyed. The women, 2/3 of the women will be killed and raped, and the men will be killed as well. Only 1/3 is going to survive, those that run to the mountain of Petra. When you read the Gospels and you read about what Jesus says, 2 will be at the meal, 1 will be taken, and 1 will be left, and things like that. It's talking about the great tribulation, and we have to be very careful that we don't get deceived, because we were not appointed to go through the great tribulation. We were appointed to go to heaven, to the house of our Father, you know, through Jesus Christ. But some people, you know, the Bible talks about there'll be a great falling away. A lot of people will be leaving the faith, but they're also going to be, during the tribulation time, a great revival, where a lot of people will receive Christ as the Lord and Savior, because after the tribulation is done, Christ comes, during at the end of the tribulation, Christ comes back to Mount Olivet, and that's when we're going to take up on the next coming of Christ part 2B. He comes to Mount Olivet, and then we're going to discover what happens when he comes back to Mount Olivet. Glory be to the Lord. We have 2 minutes yet to go, and I want to say, please read your scriptures. There's a lot of scriptures yet to go. I'll give you some of them, and you write them down so you can look it up. The rapture will cause the saints of God to be taken to heaven. We read 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17. You should also read 1 Corinthians 15:51-52. Christ will not touch the earth at the rapture. Believers will be meet him in the air. And that's in 1 Thessalonians 4:17. We read that. We're going to the clouds. And if you read John, the Gospel of John 14:3, it talks about that he's going to take us out of this earth. The rapture is before the 7-year tribulation. That's in 1 Thessalonians 4:13-18. Jesus is coming to resurrect the righteous. 1 Thessalonians 4:14-16. The rapture will cause the Antichrist to be revealed. He cannot be revealed until the saints be taken out of the earth. The 1 Thessalonians 4:13-18. And 2 Thessalonians 2:6-7. The rapture will cause a great tribulation to the beginning. 1 Thessalonians 4:11-18. There's more to go on, and I might extend it to be probably we're going to go look over the scriptures to get a better understanding, because I don't want to linger. I don't want people to be left hanging regarding this issue, because a lot of people believe in the rapture. A lot of people don't. So keep studying your Bible. Keep praying. Keep watching. And if you want to contact the pastor after the program, you could call 772-626-3178. If you want to leave an email, is WTLTabernacle@gmail.com. Until then, may the Lord richly bless you. Amen.